And does everyone see presentation?
Yeah. Looks beautiful.
Hi everyone, good morning or good afternoon, depending on your time zone. Welcome to the Civic Innovation Challenge webinar. We'll give folks another minute to join in and then we will go ahead and get started. Okay, as folks are joining in, I think we can go ahead and get started with the webinar today for the Civic Innovation Challenge program. I would just like to thank all of you for joining us for this webinar today. During this webinar, we will present some overview slides about the program and the new solicitation, and that will be followed by an open Q&A session with the NSF staff that is on call. If you have questions during the webinar, please use the Q&A function within Zoom to post your questions, and we will answer them either directly in the Q&A or answer them live during the moderated session. So with that said, before we start, we'll do a quick round of introductions from the Civic program team that is on call. I'll go first. I am Dr. Vishal Sharma. I'm a program director at NSF in the Computer Information Science and Engineering Directorate. I'm one of the PDs on the program. Now I'll pass it on to David Corman.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm David Corman. I'm program director from the Computer Network Systems Division in the SIES Directorate. And I've been part of Civic programs since its initiation, probably 3 or 4 years ago now. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Jacob?
Hi, I'm Jacob Kravitz. I'm an American Association for the Advancement of Science, Science and Technology Policy Fellow, and I'm working on the Civic Innovation Challenge as well as Smart and Connected Communities programs. Thank you. And I'll be answering any Q&A today, so be sure to send your way, my way.
Sichuan?
Hello, everyone. My name is Sichuan Shen. I'm a program director in Civil Infrastructure System. Program together with my colleague Dan Liang. We're both program directors working from engineering directorate, CMMI division for the Civic and also SNCC. Nice meeting everyone.
Sarah?
Hi, everybody. I'm Sarah Kiesler and I work in the Social, Behavioral, and Economic Sciences Directorate. And I've been working on this program since it started, and also Smart and Connected Communities and SATSE and many other cross-directorate programs.
Chris?
Hi, everyone. Chris Balakrishnan here. I'm representing the Biology Directorate, where I work in the Systematics and Biodiversity Sciences Division. And so, bio is new to the program, and I'm really excited to be here and encourage some applications from biologists.
And now we'll have our MetroLab colleagues introduce themselves. So Dave and then Rose.
Thanks, Vishal. Dave Rao. I am Chief of Staff at MetroLab Network, and we have been working with NSF on the prior two cohorts. So great to see everybody.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rose Michie Cummins. I am the Civic Engagement and Partnership Coordinator at MetroLab Network, and work to assist with program management for the civic program.
Great. So I think that wraps up all the introductions. So we'll go ahead and get started with our program presentation for today. So the Civic Innovation Challenge is a multi-federal agency program. It is led by the National Science Foundation and done so in partnership with the U.S. Department of Energy, Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of Agriculture. So very quickly, I'll give an overview of our program team. You have heard from several of us on the NSF side. We also have colleagues who work on this program with us from DHS, DOE, and agriculture, as well as our partners at MetroLab Network. So what is the Civic Innovation Challenge and what are the goals of the program? The main goal of the program is to accelerate transition to practice of foundational research and emerging technologies into local government and community organizations. And the way the program facilitates that is by supporting projects that address local priorities and challenges through research-based pilot projects. And these projects must be co-created and co-executed as really true partnerships between the researchers and a range of stakeholders who are on the front lines of their community challenge. And lastly, we are looking to support ideas whose outcomes have potential to be scaled and sustained within their pilot communities, but also have transferability across the US. In terms of the structure of the program, so each civic solicitation will have focused track themes that are developed both from the input of local government and community organizations based on the challenges that they're facing, and then also aligned with the priority areas of the co-funding federal agencies that participate in this program. Once we have a solicitation released, we will do broad outreach to solicit proposals focusing on reaching out to local government, community organizations, as well as research institutions. Proposals that are submitted to the Civic program undergo the standard NSF merit review process, and a typical panel for the Civic Innovation Challenge will involve academic reviewers, but will also involve civic reviewers as well, folks who come from local government or community-based organizations. So in that sense, a civic panel is fairly unique within, you know, how NSF panels are typically done. In terms of the awards that the program makes, so the first stage of the program that everyone will apply to, stage one, is for planning grants. These are six-month awards for up to $75,000 that are meant to facilitate team capacity building and to refine pilot project ideas. Teams that make it into stage one are eligible to then apply for stage two pilot awards. There's a down selection from stage one to stage two. And these pilot awards are for up to $1 million for 12 months to execute a fast-paced pilot project. As part of the program, we also encourage and enable communities of practice to facilitate knowledge sharing, training, and networking between the civic teams, which is done through a cooperative agreement that NSF has with MetroLab Network. And I'll pass it on to my MetroLab colleagues to briefly go over what the communities of practice for civic is.
Thank you so much, Vishal, for the introduction. Like Vishal said, we are in a cooperative agreement with NSF to help support the civic program and have been working with civics since the beginning of the program. And our program management support focuses on building communities of practice between both teams and also the communities they work in. And what this looks like is that we work to help develop programming for teams to support their planning and also project implementation efforts, most of which is developing communities of practice and helping to share the story of the work that they're doing. A lot of this is done through workshops, PI coffees, which is something new we started, where PIs have an opportunity to engage directly with each other. And we also provide support for deliverables and communication between NSF and the teams. We help support that effort as well. And I'm going to pass it over to Dave to talk a little bit about some of the resources we work to develop.
Sure. Thank you. So through the course of the first two civic cohorts, we have taken kind of some lessons learned on best practices and also helped worked with NSF team to develop resources that focus on the sustainability, transferability, and scalability aspects of the pilot projects. And we make those resources available to the teams as well. So I'm happy to answer any questions, but Vishal, I'll pass it back to you.
Thanks, Rose. Thanks, Dave. Okay. So the new solicitation for Civic that was released earlier this month is the third solicitation for the program. There have been two prior solicitations to this. So our first Civic solicitation, which we're calling here Civic One, ran through 2020 and 2022. For this cohort of Civic teams, 52 Stage One planning grant awards were made across two different tracks. The first solicitation tracks were Track A was on communities and mobility, looking at offering better mobility options to solve the spatial mismatch between housing and jobs. And Track B was on resilience to natural disasters to equip communities for greater preparedness and resilience to natural disasters. So from the 52 stage one teams, 17 teams were down selected for a stage two. Their pilots have been completed since then. And you'll hear us say this throughout, I think, the presentation and our Q&A today. One of the best resources for teams who are considering applying to the Civic program is to go on the Civic website, nsfciviconnovation.org, and look at what has been funded previously under both the first and the second solicitation. On the website, you will see many artifacts and resources that have been shared about what these projects did during both their planning phase and their pilot phase. And that is one of the best ways that you can understand, you know, what makes an idea a Civic project and what do Civic teams typically do in both the planning phase and then in their pilot phase as well. So we strongly recommend that all of you spend some time looking at what previous teams have done in the program to get a sense of what the program typically supports. For the second solicitation of Civic, which was released in 2022, there were two tracks for this one. Track A was on living in a changing climate, looking at adaption, mitigation, and resilience in community systems, services, and economic drivers that are vulnerable in the face of a changing climate. And Track B was on bridging the gap between essential resources and services and community needs. So looking at ways to enhance people's access to essential resources and services, where better access could significantly improve quality of life and community resilience. So stage one teams did their planning phase from October 2022 to March 2023. And then stage two awards were made last year in October. So 56 planning awards were made during Civic 2, which were then down selected to 22 stage two pilot awards, 10 in Track A and 12 in Track B. These pilots started on October 1st and are currently ongoing. And we again encourage you to visit the NSF Civic website and see what was funded in the previous cohort. I will now pass it on to my colleague, Dr. David Corman, who will go over aspects of the new solicitation.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Vishal. So a couple of things that are important on this slide is one, we're going to, the solicitation is out. You can see it, NSF24-534. There are some requirements that are elements that are important in all proposals, whether they're a Civic proposal or anything else. And you should refer to the PAPPG link to see exactly what some of those elements might be. For example, a data management plan, a postdoc mentoring plan. Other requirements are listed there. Let's go to the next. Okay, so what's different this year than previous years? So one, as was mentioned earlier, we have expanded the overall Civic program, and we're very happy to have been able to bring in the Directorate for Biological Sciences. And there are clear elements that of the program that they may have great interest in. Solicitation has some updated language for Track A and Track B. So Track A and Track B are a little different than before. One of the things, and we actually sometimes listen to our performers. I'm half joking about that. We do listen to our performers, and our performers, especially in track, in stage one, really mentioned $50,000, which was our planning grant before, is not enough. And we raise that amount to $75,000, which is to some degree a compromise between being able to do more extensive planning and the number of planning grant awards that we can make. And as Vishal indicated in his previous slides, we have given out a lot of planning grants in the past. There's also some update to solicitation-specific review criteria. The point there is we want you to understand how you will be judged, and we want our panelists to have very clear information in terms of how to review proposals. We have, let's mention that we have interest from the agriculture side. While we have a Dear Colleague letter for NIFA participation in Civic 2, that does not necessarily apply to this solicitation, but we are still very interested in proposals that address food security, and we're in discussions with NIFA for their participation. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, the tracks that you see in Civic 3.0 are not very different than what we had in Civic 2 last year. So Track A, climate, environmental, and stability, really looks at resilience of communities in many different aspects to climate and other associated environmental instabilities, including things like heat, atmospheric rivers, flooding, wildfires, many of the things that you hear about in the news. Those impacts may occur across a wide variety of community aspects, and many of those are listed here. One of the points is that some of those may be atypical. Obviously, there's health, transportation, mobility, financial services. The financial elements of resilience are also potential interest. Track B, bridging the gap between essential resources, services, and community needs. Essentially, how do people access basic resources and services, including things like housing, food, technologies, in order that they may improve their quality of life? Again, they include things like issues centered on access to services due to various systemic issues, economic disparities and disruptions, in particular, disruptions by shock or disaster is a very important element. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, what does everyone need to know here? So one, proposals are for stage one are due May 1st. We anticipate between 35 and 40 awards. That number is always subject to the quality of the proposals that we receive. one point here is stage one for your planning purposes will begin October 2024 and last through roughly March 2025. An important thing to think about is when we talk about planning grants are not a green field. And what I mean by that is there is an expectation that you have your basic concept and an understanding of your basic civic partners. You won't do well if you come in, well, I've got an idea, but I don't have any partners yet. The idea of a planning grant is really to refine those ideas, refine those partnerships, make them more inclusive. Stage two award, full awards are the $1 million type. We anticipate roughly 15 to 20 awards. Let me say one thing which we skipped over during the Civic One and Civic Two. If you're familiar with NSF, NSF is a tough customer. And in the case of Civic Two, we awarded well more than 40% of the Stage One awards graduated to Stage Two. That's to some degree almost unprecedented at National Science Foundation. So when we look at Stage Two, we really do want you to tell us what your great capabilities are, execute research-centered pilot, pathways for scaling and sustaining the outcomes beyond period of the award. One point, even if we do 40%, and maybe it'll be 30%, that still is a very large number, and it still means roughly maybe one out of two or two out of three project proposals submitted won't get awarded. So it is very competitive. We really want to hear great stories. Let's look at the next slide. So what are we doing in our planning grant proposals? And this is the element that's most relevant to you with the May deadline. So any NSF proposal has to include a project summary, one page. And if you look at the PAPG, there are some clear elements that you need. Make sure that when you put that together, you really do include the elements that are listed. So it includes things like what is the brief description, the intellectual merit, and the broader impact, all on one page. Follow that format. We don't like returning proposals without review, but we do if you can't follow what's in the guidelines. The major element of the proposal is the project description. We give you 7 pages to describe the following information. And we have specific call-outs in our solicitation on how we want you to put that proposal together. We want you to tell us, what is your vision for the research-centered pilot? It's a critical, critical element. What are your civic partnerships and how are you going to engage with them? These all don't need to be final ideas. You're going to refine these if you advance to stage two, but we want your best shot at your idea, your partnerships, and we really want to hear in your proposal, either through letters of collaboration, who you're working with, and that they are committed to working with you. A 6-month project can go quickly, And if you don't have relationships close to cemented, time will escape. We ask you to include broader impacts, which is a section required in the PAPPG, and proposals need to tell us results from prior NSF support. You may simply be able to say, I don't have any, which is cool, but you need a subset, you need a section that identifies results from prior support. Facilities. Facilities is a section that's much unused by proposers. In it, you can provide further information, one about facilities and resources to the team, including more description of activities for unfunded partnerships. So if you have unfunded civic partners, how they may work together with you. We have a section, project personnel and partner institutions, bio sketches. There's a format that's described in the PAPPG. Letters of collaboration. I mentioned it briefly. One of the points that's somewhat different than some of the other NSF programs, we enable you to say, go beyond what has become more of a standard NSF. We'll do everything that the proposal says. We would not object to letters that are short from your collaborators, but give a description of what they are planning to do as part of the planning grant. Data management plan tells us, what are you doing with the data, postdoc mentoring plan, and current and pending PAMS support. Let's go to the next slide. This is a little further discussion on this. The main thing is, tell us what is your idea for the pilot. Got to have that idea. As we said, it can be refined, but we want to hear how you are going to, one, have impact, have partnerships that will enable you to execute a stage two very rapidly after stage one is over. Let's go to the next. Other point here is, when we talk about stage one, what we want you to tell us is not that you are sensing something, not that you are monitoring something, but you're going to be able to close the loop from observations into impact. That impact may be building something, it may be activities working with a local community, cities, region, state, but it will result in some action. And tell us how you're going to collaborate across those. Let's go to the next slide. This just basically says a little further in, again, lists of tell us your capabilities. Like to see strong letters of collaboration. Letters of collaboration should not be letters of support. They should not say simply, hey, we love working with these people. They're a great institution. But how we are going to contribute to the execution of this idea. Let's go to the next slide. Merit review criteria. NSF reviews proposals based on intellectual merit and broader impacts. And one has to think about those specifically in the context of the civic solicitation. Remember, civic is not about developing transformative research over the next 3 or 5 years that will have a 20-year horizon. It's about the here and now transitioning research ideas into impactful pilots. And so temper your vision by what is original, what could be impactful, is there a good research plan, a good plan for execution that you're carrying out in your planning grant? Tell us what you're going to do, how often you're going to meet, who's responsible for doing what. We also look at, do you have the resources available to carry out both your planning grant and is your pilot idea, can that be done with $1 million? You know, we don't want a pilot that's going to be $100 million. Maybe a great vision, but it has to be executable. Let's go to the next slide. Other points. What we look at projects and critical elements, impact with communities, and we want to see that the item, the pilot idea, is a priority within a community. It's driven by partnerships, and you've got a necessary set of organizations within the community, the academic partners to be able to execute it. Can you execute this idea on a 12-month timeline? And clearly, are you able to state for us, what are the impacts of the idea and the planning activities that you're going to be doing? And we want you to tell us what do you really mean by success? What will a successful pilot do and how will you evaluate progress along the way? Next slide. This slide is one that you really need to pay particular attention to. And we're in February, proposals are due in May. And what we don't want you to do is have problems submitting a proposal because you don't have the necessary registration or other information. In particular, look at the PAPPG, which includes information on what you need to do to submit proposals. Part of it includes some registration with NSF, as well as registration within an external agency for a SAM number. We're not going to be very forgiving if at the end, May 1st comes, oh, we've forgotten, we don't have that registration. Guys, you've got 3 months to have done it. There's a frequently asked question webpage and specifically question 11 tells more information about this. Next.
Yeah, so in closing for the webinar, there are additional resources that are available to civic teams. The first that I'd like to talk about is serving on an NSF review panel. One of the best ways you can understand what makes a proposal competitive for NSF funding is to actually serve as a reviewer for some of our programs. My colleague Jacob will share a link in chat that allows you to express your interest in serving on review panels for some of our programs, specifically the Civic program or Smart Connected Communities. So we do strongly encourage you to consider service on an NSF panel. And even if you're applying to Civic, you can serve as a reviewer as long as it's not for the track that you are potentially applying to. So if you're applying to track A, you may serve as a reviewer for track B and vice versa. A recording of this webinar will become available at the NSF program page for Civic a few days after this webinar, and we will share that link once it's made available. Civic program directors are also available for one-on-one calls with prospective proposers to answer their questions regarding the program and your proposal ideas. And Jacob will also share a link for you to book one-on-one call meeting time with any of the Civic PDs on the program. You can also share one-page summaries of your proposals with us, and we'd be happy to provide you feedback over email as well. Additional resources that are available to you if you haven't signed up for the Civic mailing list, please do so at nsfciviccinnovation.org, which is where you can also learn more about the program. And I will say this again, including our previous awards, please use that as a valuable resource to yourself. Look at what previous teams have proposed to us and been funded to do, and watch their project videos, the one-pagers, if they have websites, go visit them to see what they did both in the planning phase and in their pilots. And that should give you an idea for how projects can be scoped and executed for this program. And lastly, for any questions about the program, you can email us directly. Our program team is, you can see who's on the program team on the NSF website for Civic, or you can also reach out to our general mailing box, which is civic@nsf.gov. With that, our presentation is concluded, and the webinar will go on till 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. And until then, we will do a Q&A now, and Jacob will moderate the Q&A, and we'll try our best to answer the questions that have come.